Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, it's time for WEEI at Night.
Michael, you've played against the Patriots before in the Super Bowl.
The New England Patriots have won!
What's it like now that you're here?
Help me!
I used to hate the Patriots.
Yes?
I used to hate it. I hate it because they win so much. I hate it because Tom Brady hair was long. Hated that Belichick wore sweaters.
That's correct.
But now I'm here, I love it. I love Tom Brady's hair.
Time changes, right.
I love being a Patriot.
Take a bow!
The greatest part is the opportunity to get to talk to coach.
All right, wait a minute. So what does this have to do with the game now?
Just talk about different philosophies that they live by.
We don't really do it that way.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
They never sleep in the NFL offseason. The free agency machine cranking out names, rumors, rumblings. Jordy Nelson, Jared Cook, Randall Cobb.
Those are guys still out there. Ndamukong Suh. No, Christian's big on that. Wouldn't it be bad if he took a short-term, cheap deal? Why not?
Patriots could use another hard-crushing defensive tackle.
Belichick spends on the defensive side of the ball if that's where the money is going to go.
Looks like that's what they're doing this offseason.
Yeah, that's what they've done the last couple years.
But there are some, I mean, as we documented, there are still some names out there that they can go out and secure. The question is, or maybe a trade for A.J. Green. I give Ryan Hannibal credit. He brought that one to the table last night. A.J. Green in New England.
Possible. I mean, they have, you know, number 32 maybe for A.J. Green, or would you? No, he would be what, a second?
No,
would you get a third round for him?
No, I think you'd have to give him 32.
32? I don't know, though. Antonio Brown goes for a third and a fifth. I know, different situation, but
I think Cincinnati would.
He also came with the Rays.
Gladly take that deal.
But if I don't know if you'd have to offer a first for A.J. Green.
Maybe.
I mean, OBJ goes for a first, a third, and Jabril Peppers. Antonio Brown, again, a third and a fifth. I think a second at most, to be honest with you.
Bring him on,
for A.J. Green. I agree with you. I just don't see the Patriots doing it.
Why not?
I think we're going to get Jordy Nelson and a few of these other guys we've been talking about.
Just buy low and just go that way. Even though I think Nelson's good. Again, good. Not great. A.J. Green.
Well, especially at this stage in his career.
Right. He's beat up. But he'll give you 50, 55 catches, 60 catches, maybe even 70. And then they'll release him after next year.
I want to know how much the Patriots offered Cole Beasley and Golden Tate. Because they were both tied to those guys. We had after the fact the Patriots were in on them. Because we know, again,
Humphreys a lot of money.
$10 million per year, if we're to believe reports.
So much for that narrative. Oh, they don't spend offensively. They know what they're doing. They're giving Adam freaking Humphreys $10 million
a year. Well, and that was my point last night, too. You know, people saying the Patriots are sitting out this free agent market. Not exactly true, because, again, they reportedly offered Humphreys $10 million per year. They were in on Tate and on Beasley. So they're not just sitting out this free agent market. I think Belichick got beat on Humphreys. He says he agreed to a deal with the Titans first, and he honored his word. So that tells me the Patriots were too slow to the punch. Why? Is there not enough cell service on the raft in Barbados? What was going on there? Why?
He was not in Barbados.
The Titans beat them for Humphreys.
That was a Sunday afternoon photo. Very upset when I heard that. Very, very
yeah,
upset.
We can still have fun with it. It's more fun to imagine him there like Wednesday at 4, free agency starts, and
absolutely.
He's up. Excuse me.
Sun glare with
the laptop. Wi-Fi's down. Uh-oh. Where's the Ethernet cord? Get a cord out here by the pool?
Dino used to have the Ethernet cord in the studio. He used to bring it every morning, try to plug it in, one of those Ethernet cords.
Was it pre-Wi-Fi?
Pre-Wi-Fi, yes. It was great watching.
Did that ever work for him?
Great watching John and Jerry try to coordinate technology.
I can't imagine Jerry using a laptop, to be honest with you.
I have seen him use it because at spring training he used to bang on it.
Yeah.
Doc, come here. Come. Not working, Doc.
It's broken.
It froze again. It froze. I need the stats on Hazel Baker.
Jerry doing anything technological should be a show or something, like a half hour short. Jerry does the DVR.
Yes, Jerry does the DVR.
Holdouts
on Twitter for years.
You were?
All three of us.
Jerry loves Twitter. Jerry loves Twitter. Jerry,
not when it started.
Was Jerry one of those, what do you need to do? What do you need dinner? What do they need that for? About 4 hours a day. What do they need that for?
Not enough.
Right, what do I need? They want me to tweet when I'm home. They want me to tweet. I mean, God almighty.
Want me to tell you what I ate for dinner?
But now Jerry loves it, though. All his buddies are on Twitter. Ann Coulter, Daily Caller.
Mitchell Maddow.
Oh, yeah.
They're all
James Woods. They're all there. All his buddies.
Jimmy Woods. 617-779-7937.
Randy Quaid.
That's a favorite. Dumb liberal argument.
He loves Randy Quaid.
Oh, all his guys. It's hard to imagine Jerry without Twitter now.
It would be hard. It's like with Jerry without a limb, you know?
Jerry, I imagine Jerry sits there. 8 o'clock, Tucker goes on.
I just wear a diaper and just wet myself.
A nice cold beer.
In his old house, he had the corner TV that had to have been Fox dedicated.
Oh, yeah. Well, one TV has to be dedicated to Fox.
He's like the NFL scout who will not take it off NFL Network. You walk into Mike Mayock's office now in Oakland, you know it's on NFL Network.
Oh, good analysis there. You learn a lot. You can listen to the likes of Charlie Casserly. I mean, it's incredible.
Exactly. Dave in Connecticut might have some thoughts on free agency. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. So I'm looking at the free agent market, and there's two guys I would like and I think would fit the Patriots' way of doing things. One is the Jordy Nelson that you guys have been talking about. Even though he's not as quick as he used to be and he's injury-prone, on a one-year deal, prove he's healthy kind of thing. I mean, it's the perfect match for the Patriots, and it also fills a need for a receiver. But the other guy that I haven't heard anybody talk about is Clay Matthews. With Hightower being injury-prone and Matthews also being injury-prone, if you rotate him in and out...
Maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe one of them will stay healthy.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, I mean, Clay Matthews is just a monster. I mean, granted, he's lost a little bit and whatever, but I hear you guys talk about Ndamukong Suh, and the earlier shows talked about him. I don't want anything to do with that guy. He plays half the time when he feels like playing. I mean, when he went to Miami, you saw it all the time. He took plays off, just doesn't look like he's trying, plays when he wants to. I don't know. I think he would just be a waste of money. I'd rather go somewhere else.
I think with Matthews, you look at him now, he had 43 tackles last year. I mean, he's definitely on the downside. He's been healthy, though.
He's an old 32.
He's an old 32.
3.5 sacks last year. That's the red flag for me, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
most of his career by a lot. Though.
I mean, it's a different system here. You know, put a lot of emphasis on pass rush.
They're not pinning their ears back. Yeah. Exactly.
If you can slow down the run and, play a little bit of coverage, that's all you really need from him. And if you're rotating him in to give...
I never considered Matthews to be a great coverage guy. I mean, granted, I'm not breaking down Packers linebacking core, but...
He's serviceable.
He's serviceable. That's a good word for him now. I don't think you'll see him here. I think the Rams are going to end up with him.
Yeah, and it's how much money, too. I mean, I'd rather spend any money they have on the get a receiver who can catch the ball or a tight end.
Oh, make sure you have enough cap space.
I mean, they have lacrosse, though.
So. Check your cap space.
Yeah, right. That's right. Check this out. It works. You understand? And you got to save cap space for the draft, of course, as well. But you forget the draft.
And by the way, I know it's March 15th. The season doesn't start yet.
Doesn't start yet, guy. I mean, so it's going to be a Browns, Jets, Browns, Lions Super Bowl.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Browns are going to be interesting. Do you think this new coach is going to be good enough to take that talent and do anything with it? Because I don't really know a lot about him, and I just. Being a first-time head coach, as far as I know, I don't know. Is he?
I think Freddie Kitchens he worked wonders with Baker Mayfield, so that's what they're banking on because Mayfield's comfortable with him. That's why he got the job. So whether he can do it on both ends, who knows? I think he needs a good – he's got, Greg Williams is defensive coordinator, so he can solidify that side of the ball.
No, Williams is out, I thought, in Cleveland.
Is he definitely out there?
Yeah.
We'll check that.
Yeah.
But either way...
It's with the Jets. I mean, that's a hell of a coaching staff, Adam Gase and Greg Williams.
They should have kept Williams, but what he did...
You can have the bounty guy. That's what I say to that.
Well, you're just... You know what? You're a pansy.
I am.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. Jerry loves that. Thanks for the call. This is Jerry Callahan, Phone Etiquette. Steve in a car. Go! Steve.
Nope. We're skimming to Alberto. Alberto in Boston. What's up?
Thanks, Haven.
What's up, guys? First of all, as one of the few Cuban Americans here in Boston, I mean, there's a lot of us in Miami. I was just listening to you guys, just having to catch your conversation about Kaepernick going to Miami, and just wanted to chime in. I think virtually every one of my family members and friends, and I'm talking about we're already second, third generation Cubans, would really be upset and would not take kindly to Kaepernick going there. I think because we live in such a liberal city, Boston, we underestimate kind of the Kaepernick wearing the Castro, pro-Castro shirt, his rhetoric. It rubs me the wrong way. I've never been to Cuba. I'm just born in Boston, Bostonian. But I know it would rub a lot.
You think even for younger Cubans, though, Alberto,
I'm telling you,
second generation?
Let me tell you, I consider myself pretty moderate. You know, I'm living up here in Boston. I'm not for Trump and not Republican. I'm in the middle. And a lot of my younger cousins are way more conservative than I am. Mm. So I don't think that really, obviously much less than the hardliners. But I think when put it this way, I mean, Mita Perel, I mean, with all due respect, I love you. And, as a Jewish person, right, the way Castro is looked upon by Cubans, no matter how many generations down, is very similar to the Jewish reaction to Hitler. And I have many Jewish friends who I respect, and I'm very sensitive to that. So just think about that. And I've been down to the Pats Dolphins games the last 4 years. One of the things that I came away from, I'm like, how many Cuban American football fans fill that stadium? They're mostly, I'd say 80% Cuban American, or at least have some Cuban in them. So I don't know, man. I don't think it will fly. I think you're underestimating.
Yeah, maybe, but I also, yeah, I mean,
it's a valid point.
I don't have those experiences.
If you guys pro-Castro, that's going to be an issue.
But is he, that's the thing, too. I mean, is he pro-Castro, or did he wear a t-shirt?
Or is he just an idiot because he likes the shirt?
Right, or say something like, Cuba offers health care to all their people, which they do. I mean, is that, so I don't know exactly. Now I sound like Jerry. He hates the cops and he's pro-Castro. Like, I don't know about that. I think Kaepernick would be welcomed in a lot of markets. In Miami, he would be welcome too. I think so.
I don't know. Alberto was pretty strong about that.
Yeah. How large is the Cuban contingency of Dolphins fans?
I have no idea.
Yeah, right. I mean,
no idea.
I feel like he'd still be, but that's, again, valid stuff.
Steve in a car. We're going to try it again. Steve, you there?
Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
What's up, Steve?
Oh, hey, Mita, long time no talk. I met you years ago. You were doing something for EEI outside of Home Depot in Brockton years ago, and I told you a friend of mine used to
work. The first time you ever been to a hardware store, Meter?
Yes, first time ever. First time I've ever seen a hammer in my life, Steve.
I told you that a friend of mine used to work for the organization of the Red Sox, and he told me about a year before Meter got busted for roids that he was on them. But you were a very nice guy, and you really stood up for the Red Sox. Good representation for WEI.
Thank you, Steve.
Now I want to get to my gripe about the Patriots.
What do you got?
They had the money for Gates and Humphreys. What are they spending? Now they have nothing now. They have these like retreads or useless guys, and you're asking a 40-something-year-old quarterback to lift these guys up, and I don't think he can do it anymore. Plus, with the draft coming up, I think all the defensive woes are going to be for the Patriots in the offensive line. That's going to be taken care of the draft. But I'm really, talk me off the wall, guys. You guys.
Well, I mean, they have been to the AFC title game 8 straight years, 3 straight Super Bowls. So we'll be wrong, like we always are.
Yeah,
but
the odds are good for them, Steve.
But, Steve, I think it brings up a valid point. And this was Wiggy's thing, too, that Brady doesn't bother Brady that the Patriots don't get him help. Of course it must bother Brady. He's a human being.
Of course it bothers him.
He's a human being.
Right.
And you see all these guys.
Trust me, it bothers him.
And you've seen all these guys sign elsewhere, and and you're stuck with, again, Bruce Ellington. It's like, really?
And I'm going to make Bruce Ellington a 50-catch guy, because that's who I am.
What do you think they would trade for Alshon Jeffries?
No.
I mean,
why would the Eagles trade him?
Maybe Nelson Aguilar.
Well, who could they trade for? I mean, who would they, because of where they are in the cap, who could they go out and get? I mean,
well, that's the thing, too, right? So they have 6 picks in the first 3 rounds. I'd rather see them trade a second or third rounder, to be honest, for a veteran wideout than draft one themselves, given Belichick's history there. But,
Beyond Branch.
Right, but as of now, again, we all the good free agent wideouts are gone, and Patriots didn't get one of them. I mean, maybe that could change. It's a lot of offseason left.
There's guys out there, though. I mean, Crabtree might be not an impact guy, but he's a good addition if he can learn the offense. Randall Cobb, same thing. Those are two guys, I think, out there that might interest them. Jared Cook's a tight end that caught 68 balls last year. He's not going to pulverize people at the point of attack, but that's Gronk's job.
Well, that's the thing about Gronk, too. You know, is this somehow tied into Gronk's holdup, where he's sitting there saying, and Tom Curran said this the other night on TV, I don't want to be carrying as much of the workload as I was last year. So I'm going to kind of see who we get in here, because I'll come back as a bit player. But if it's going to be on my shoulders again, no thanks. I'm not up for that.
I don't think he wants to take that marquee role.
Right, especially if at the same salary. You know, and that might be why Rosenhaus is out there on TV blabbering every day. We have media opportunities, broadcasting, like, okay. But, you know, because their only leverage right now is not committing to coming back if you want more money. And if Gronk looks at the landscape and goes, if I'm going to be counted on to be the centerpiece of this offense again, I want more than $9 million. And the only way to try to get that out of the Patriots is play this game.
He wants to get paid. Did you see Golden Tate, by the way? Great job on Twitter by Golden Tate.
What do you do?
Doing the Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, yes,
impersonation.
Yes,
we have to play that if we can get Eamon Convy on that. The great Eamon Convy behind the glass. That was funny. That made me laugh.
Could have had him here, Meter.
Could have had him here, man. He would have been a chuck a minute, a laugh a minute, a yuck a minute.
New Patriots Monday guest, Golden Tate.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, this station needs to do the full court press to get Michael Bennett.
What do you think? Bruce Ellington?
Yeah. Maurice Harris. I'm a Maurice Harris
Big Mo
guy.
Harris,
yeah, Terrence
Patriot
Brooks,
Monday.
The safety they signed. Yeah.
Pride of Florida State.
Put him in there.
This is Meter and Reamer coming up. We'll speak to the New York Post sports media critic. He is an enterpriser. Yes, he
Lots
is.
Lots of media news. ESPN had a big news day. Teddy Bruschi moving up in the Bristol hierarchy.
There you go. We'll address that with Andrew Marchand and the pride of Ithaca College coming up next on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's WEEI at night. This is Sports Radio WEEI.
We sit back and laugh at how wrong he is and how much he makes up utter nonsense, just complete fabrications, because I won't talk to him, because he begs me to give him quotes or, I have a big story, can you give me a quote? No, I don't call him back. You know, I never call him back, because he's not worthy of anyone talking to. He is an inconsequential little, just a little jealous little guy who does nothing.
Now that is just so wrong. So wrong.
Searing.
I am just... You know, I'm not a big Francesa guy, and now I'm really not a big Francesa guy. Because let me tell you something, Andrew Marchand, that is inconsequential. I mean, when I think consequential, I think Andrew Marchand of the New York Post. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. That is quite an introduction, John, that you delivered me here with.
So, Andrew, so let's get down to it. So we had on one of Francesa's proteges, JJ. John Jastrzemski was on with us earlier this week.
Yes, I heard that.
Yes.
I heard that.
So they asked him about Francesa, and, you know, I guess he's one of the few. You know, so he didn't say much, but explain to us, because we've been trying to figure out all week. We always talk about this off the air, the Francesa phenomenon. We turn him on, and then we turn him off. I think he sucks. I don't understand how anyone in New York
it's
could find
be
that
a New York
entertaining.
Thing.
I mean, please. Maybe you're not the right guy to ask, but...
No, I think the show's terrible. I mean, his show now is awful. Go back now, late 80s, early 90s, Mike and the Mad Dog, that's an iconic show.
But now he just drones on and on, no humor. I mean, it's awful.
No, now he does. But then with Christo, right. You know, Mad Dog brings energy. And when they're on, even now they're kind of at odds at the moment. But, like, even when they get together... He kind of brings something out of Mike. But Mike, unfortunately now without Chris, you know, kind of all the warts of his ego and his insecurities show, and it makes his show very unlistenable. Now, he still gets some ratings.
Why?
Because
that's my question.
Well, I think that his audience skews older, and, you know, some people grew up with him, and it's kind of you're used to hearing his voice. And also, not that you guys knew anything about this at EEI, but it can help, though, when people are a little narcissistic in terms of, I know. This is
that's a foreign concept.
For radio, you know, it kind of, when you put on the radio, part of it is getting a release from your life and kind of let me go into the Make Some Sports Radio, make believe world of sports, outsized personalities saying crazy things. I know EI, that doesn't happen, but
no, we toe the line here.
Yes, exactly. So Mike, I do think there's that, and you know, his egomaniac, you know, maniacal personality. You know, there's something. There's kind of you know, there's something there where people want to hear that. But in terms of a show, I always do it this way, especially as you know, he's a legendary guy in New York. If he wasn't Mike Francesa, hadn't been doing it for 30 years, the success was Russo, he just turned on the show. I mean, do you think he'd still have a job in a week? I don't really think so. You know, the show it's past its time, and he might lose the ratings for the first time to Michael Kay of ESPN Radio, this book.
You're in an unbelievable situation. I knew you when, Andrew, when you were, you know, an up-and-coming Cub reporter at the Ithaca College student newspaper. But it's one of the things now when you're in New York City that, as a sports media critic, you have a million ways to turn. How do you balance everything, and what does your day look like? Are you spending hours upon hours listening to sports radio and watching 50 things?
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot. You can't watch everything, and I think when you look at the media job and you know, covering sports media now, it's less about, in my opinion, reviewing everything, because Twitter, social media, and the internet, you know, if someone says something tonight and they mess up on, you know, play-by-play, or if they do a great job, you know, that'll be on social media 2 seconds later. Not only will people be coming, the actual, you know, whatever happens, the play-by-play will be on. And so, to me, that's not the job really as much. I mean, obviously, I pay attention to as much as I can. You can't watch and listen to everything, but I do a lot of that, of course. But then I really think reporters, where you still have value, your most value is the information that you have. So, you know, my thing is always, and this is when I was covering baseball as well, is, you know, try to tell people things they can't see. And so that's the goal. So to answer your question, you know, each week I send my editor on Monday mornings, here's a list of stories I'm working on, you know, things that, some new stuff, and, you know, they take time to develop. And, you know, then things come up during the week as well. So, you know, this week, you know, every day, there was something else. And then some weeks there's a little less, but that's basically how I do it. And, you know, like anybody else, anybody listening, if they're in, you know, Foster, Rhode Island, or Boston, Mass, or wherever they are right now, you know, if they're listening, you know, they have regular, you know, their jobs too. Everyone's jobs now, you know, pretty much, not everyone's, but most people's is 24/7. And so even though I do, you know, I have a great job, I'm fortunate, but you know, you get text all the time.
Right.
And you know, so stories break all the time. And so yeah, it's fun. I really love it. I'm very lucky.
What's going on with the Monday Night Football booth, Andrew? Are they going to replace Jason Witten, or are we going with Boog and Test this year?
I think the smart money would probably be on them staying with Tessitore and Booger. Now, they will make a call to Peyton Manning to see if they can entice him to finally become an analyst. Now, CBS, Fox, you know, all have gone after Peyton in the past. Last year, Fox and ESPN went strong after Peyton to try to get him to do it. You know, if you look at the Manning family and their history, you know, for example, Eli, when he was drafted, didn't go to San Diego, went to the Giants. They don't do anything they don't want to do. You know, Manning's, they're going to, and especially if it's not exactly how they want it. So I don't know if Peyton Manning, first off, I tend to doubt he's going to want to do it, regardless of what the situation is, at the moment at least. But there is a relationship with ESPN because he does that Pivot show. The Pivot, now, what is it called? The same show as Kobe Bryant, where he breaks down the film on ESPN.
Right, right,
Plus.
Right. Yes.
And so, you know, yeah, there's a relationship that has grown over the year, but I doubt he'll do it. But I think if he does do it, it's going to be because of the exact right situation, the right play-by-play guy that he wants. And so, you know, with the contractual situations with people, that's hard to put together. But I do think they'll try. And when that doesn't work, I think that they'll probably go with Tessitore and Booger for a year and see how that works out.
How about Teddy Bruschi? Is he a comer now with ESPN after getting promoted today? They continually promote him, Andrew.
Yes, I know, definitely. You know, I reported this morning about Bruschi getting the Woodson's job. Charles Woodson was let go at the end of the year. And if you look at ESPN, the stars that they've had, now Teddy Bruschi, obviously where you are, is a huge name, and as a a starting linebacker, I'm sure he made some All-Pro teams over his career. But he wasn't like, he's not Jack Lambert, he's not Lawrence Taylor. He was a very good player on great teams. So if you look at the ESPN stars in terms of their analysts, usually this is kind of how they build up. Now they're, some of them are good players or even great players, but not, they're not usually the big stars who come in off the field. So if you look at a Herb Street, a Dick Vitale, even going back, way back a little bit, is Tom Jackson. Good players, either in college or the pros, or in Vitale's case, a coach, but nothing, not a big name at the time, but then they've grown at ESPN and the stars. And that might be happening for Bruschi because this, he's worked this. And to me, their thought process here is much stronger than it's been, because I think you hire people for those type of shows, if you're ESPN, for what they say, not for what they did. And so for Bruschi, he's earned it, and he's had to work his way up. He wasn't just giving it off the when he retired 10 years ago. And instead, he's done all the shows, and now he's on the big show.
You got to work at it. I thought you wrote a great story a couple weeks ago, Andrew, about Adam Schefter, not just looking into the swing and a miss on the Bigger Than Kraft report, but the Condoleezza Rice Browns coaching story, which seemed to come out of nowhere. The weird referee story he had, too, about the referees in the Rams Saints game, originally being from Southern California. What's going on with Schefty? These are some big misses.
Look, Adam Schefter.
And he's been on fire this week, per usual. I mean, he's the best when it comes to this kind of stuff, but.
Yeah, the transactions, and that's, look, there's a trade, and he's making millions of dollars, and there is value there. But when he's gone out of that transaction lane, at least,
out of the sandbox, as we say.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's value in it, but. It's also not exactly like the greatest journalism that you're tweeting out a story.
It's usurping press releases, basically.
Exactly. So exactly. That's the kind of Dave Waldstein, the New York Times, who's a New England native. He always says, if there's a press release coming up after the story, then it's not as great a story. And that's nothing. I'm not taking anything away from Schefter, because he has 7 million Twitter followers. He has a big following, and he deserves it. He's good at his job. But on these stories, especially the Condi Rice one, to me, that one was like the worst one, because it's just inconceivable that she was going to be the coach of the Cleveland Browns. Not because she's a woman. It's not because of anything like that. It's just that
no football background at all.
Right?
No football background.
You're more qualified.
No football she's a football fan. You can't just be a coach. Now if you said the president of the Browns, she ran the organization. Okay, yeah, maybe you could do that for sure. I mean, there's plenty of people who run these organizations who didn't play or don't really have more of a business background. Sure, but to think that to say that she could interview for the job, and here's the problem I have, and this is where the argument with ESPN is, that these aren't one source stories. If you're going to say Condi Rice could be interviewed to be the coach of the Browns. It's not. This isn't saying a third-round pick signed for $500,000. This is Condi Rice, and then you have to anticipate, what's the reaction going to be? And to me, in that story, you have to say, all right, Browns, what do you say about this? And what happened afterward, where the Browns totally denied it, said we have no interest, didn't talk about this. Condi Rice said no interest, didn't talk about this. You're Adam Schefter and ESPN, and I just think that one, I think it's indefensible. And then the Bigger Than Kraft thing, with the situation in Miami or Florida, South Florida, to me, it read, and again, I tried to talk to Schefter, he didn't want to talk about this one, but it just read like he was doing somebody a favor. It's like, taking some heat off Kraft in that situation.
Although maybe there's a Trump tie-in. We found that with Cindy Yang last week, so maybe he was onto something. We don't know.
Yeah, but here's the case. Well, let's say that's even correct, okay, if that's correct.
Yep.
Then if you're a reporter, what you do is you put that in your notebook and you go find out, who the bigger name is. You don't give the rest of the media a chance to go find that story. You say, all right, I got something here. You tell your editors and you say, okay, well, ESPN might not want to trump their, okay, but Disney believes in synergy. Have somebody give somebody a call at ABC and be like, hey, you guys might want to look into this, and then, break that story for your company, not just throw out Bigger Than Kraft and a bigger name. And And, like, yes, you know, the president was in a picture.
Oh, right.
But, I mean, again, that's not exactly – I don't know. Look, there might be something there, but still it's not it, – it's still – even if it, even that turns out to be the case, that's not what you're really doing as a reporter, in my opinion.
Would you rather listen to John Sterling do 9 innings of play-by-play or Mike Francesa do a four-hour show?
Sterling.
Now, this is brutal. Man, oh, man.
Well, here's the thing about Sterling. I mean, I get it. I heard John Mina Perel when he was doing Ithaca Gaming. And this, he has done great in his career. And to me, Mina Perel is a tremendous play-by-player. So he has a good feel for what a play-by-play. Now, Sterling has grown on me. Now, I covered the Yankees for a long time, so I was around them a lot. And look, if you want to know what's going on in the game, he's not really your guy. But if you want to laugh and if you're just like enjoying a listen, it can be enjoyable. Now, obviously his style is going to be very polarizing. It's very much about John. But he is one of a kind. And so you ask me the choice. I mean, it's not much of a choice because I'm getting the game. Mike is just droning on. I got nothing against Mike. We've had a little bit of a battle, now since I've been back for a little more than a year covering sports media. But I have nothing against him. It's just the show's not good anymore. And, it's an accurate opinion, and the ratings, that to me, that's inconsequential. I mean, something you could rate well and still not be good in someone's opinion. And I don't think my opinion's correct. And if you listen to it, so yes, definitely I go with Sterling.
What will be the big sports media story looking ahead in, I don't know, 2019, 2020?
Well, the two big things that are on the horizon is, what's going to happen with the NFL packages. ABC wants to get involved. I've reported that in terms of maybe trying to get one of these, NFC or AFC packages. I think they probably might have a better shot at CBS because the ABC and ESPN had won the Super Bowl. That's one thing. And then the stalking horse is Amazon. And what they might do, there are a lot of network executives curious. Amazon has endless money. You talk about the over-the-top players. Amazon's the one to watch. Netflix is not going to be involved in that. They don't have an advertising business. There's some of the other ones. DAZN, I don't think they're there yet in terms of this round, in terms of the United States. I doubt they'd go there, though they do have very deep pockets. So they could be involved. And then when you talk about the linear TV, Turner with Jeff Zucker, they'll be involved. Will they get a package? What will happen with Monday Night Football? Fox is obviously, it's hard to imagine them not being a part of the NFL going forward because they are so, they have such a good relationship with the NFL and, the amount of money that they're spending. So that's one story. And then, the other story is these media platforms. We talked about DAZN, but ESPN Plus, and where is it the world moving in terms of how we're going to view our sports and how we'll have to pay for them. It's not really 2 years out. I don't think your life's going to change that much 2 years out, but that's where we're moving towards.
Yep.
And I'll give you a third. Gambling is going to become a bigger part as more states approve it. That is going to be a bigger part of how it's presented on TV, how you guys talk about it on radio, which ultimately I think probably be pluses for especially TV and probably radio in terms of your ratings and your audience. I think those things are going to be and gambling has shown overseas that it usually improves the ratings for TV. I can't say for sure for radio, but I do think it might add to it.
See, Rima, this guy is plugged in.
I love it.
Reamer is the sports media columnist for WEEI.com.
Yes, I am. Yes, Andrew.
So
yes,
he's a protege for you, Andrew.
I love the way you go at it. It's hard. It's hard.
Yes, he definitely likes to stir it up.
Well, do you feel like you could ever go back and be a regular member of the media now? I mean, with all or no?
I mean, I could, like, well, you know, I don't know if you know my history, but I was, like...
No, right. But do you feel like relationships have been fractured?
I went to sports media, then ESPN came and recruited me for radio in New York, and then I did, you know, TV and wrote for .com for ESPN. I wanted to do this. I mean, when I first left, I didn't really want to leave, but it was, I had a, just financially, it was a move I needed to make. And then this is what I'm passionate about. So if you ask me, I don't want to. I mean, so could I? I guess I could. I would not want. This is what I like doing. This is what I'm most passionate about. I enjoy it, and you know, I try to do the best I can. So, I mean, could I do it? Yeah, I think I could. But you know, the other thing is, and I don't expect anybody listening to feel bad or anything, but when you cover baseball, it's just a grueling schedule, and the games go on forever. Which, again, if you're at Fenway and you have a beer and you're watching the game, it's a little bit different than you're in the press box and all those guys from the Globe, Sports, and all the other sites, Boston Sports Journal. I mean, give them to Sean McAdams, a little shout out there. All those sites, those guys are working hard and the days are long. So yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. I can watch the game on TV, and to me, it's much more enjoyable because, as like a beat guy covering the Yankees, you don't necessarily watch the game. You're always writing and working. And then, as you guys know, in Boston, same thing with the Yankees, it's 24/7, 365. There's always something going on.
But you bring it home, Andrew Marchand. There's no doubt about that. All those days at Rogan's in upstate New York, I'll tell you. You started small, but now you're huge.
Well, here's the story, and you guys might agree. So when I was a freshman in Ithaca, I think you're 2 years older. I think
that is correct.
Yes, John was a junior. So at Ithaca, there's two radio stations. There's WICB, that's like the varsity station, and then there's VIC, that's the JV. So you start on the JV at VIC. So freshman, must be the first week. John was doing the 6 a.m. updates on 92 WICB.
I always had morning drive in his blood, let me tell you.
Always.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. He's doing the 6 a.m. on the varsity station. I'm a freshman, squeaky voice. I'm doing the JV update, and I'm like an eager beaver. And I said, John, how do I get on WICB? And John, you know, again, you can tell I don't have a great voice. John, in his great voice, is like, Andrew, it's not ESPN. So basically, he's like, chill, young man. You're chill, freshman, right?
Exactly.
You're getting on ICB.
You got plenty of time. I mean, you came to me. You knocked on my dorm room door and we said, "Listen to my tapes, meet. Please tell me what I'm doing wrong." I felt like I was Sandy Montag for you. I was the premier agent. I tried.
Yeah, I know. You did the best you could for me, but it worked out. I'm happy to hear it's working out for you.
You're kicking butt, Andrew. You're kicking butt, and thanks for your time tonight. We know we know you're a busy guy. We look forward to reading you in the New York Post.
All right, thank you. Be well, guys.
All right, Andrew, thanks. Great kid.
Great, you still call him a kid?
Great kid.
Still call him the kid?
Knocked on my door, Reamer. Like begging me to listen, like when we still listen to tapes.
Did you listen to the tape?
A young Alex, of course I did. Sat there on my bed. You know, not many people sat on the bed. Let me tell you, when that dorm room's a rocking, you don't come a knocking.
That's a lot.
But yeah, Andrew Marchand was one of them. And it was, some of us have to shape talent. It's like Callahan with me and Charlotte. You discover talent, you mine it, you cultivate it, you move on, right? Now he's making probably well into the six figures, and I'm sitting here working with Alex Reamer.
You went out in that deal. You went out.
I definitely
And with
went
a squeaky
out.
Voice, you can get on a varsity station.
Please. I was like, dude, yeah, there you go.
I mean, come on. No one has a worse voice than I do.
You worked at WTBU?
I did.
Is that thing
Sunday
still
mornings?
Exists?
When I was there, there was no radio transmitter, so you could only get it online.
Oh, boy.
Our show, though, was Sunday mornings, and all we did was rip on BU for all 2 hours. It was great. It gave me good training for here.
No, I was going to say, not much has changed on a Sunday morning.
Nope.
Now you're just on a bigger stick. Meter and Reamer. Back with more after this. Sports Radio WEEI.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to WEEI at night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that little thing called Amazon.
What about it?
You heard of that thing?
Once or twice.
Jeff Bezos, Lawrence Sanchez.
I know. Now we're talking.
That's a salacious media story.
Well, I think Jeff Bezos should release his nudes.
Are you interested in that?
No, but I think it's time for us to get rid of the stigma that nude pictures carry. In the digital age, a lot of us have sent things like that to others.
Don't
it's out there in the cloud.
Those.
I'm not saying I have or I haven't. I'm just saying many my age have. And I think it's time to get rid of the stigma. Why not? The richest man in the world could take the hit, release him.
But Lawrence Sanchez's brother?
I know. Well, he's a Trump guy. Photos. See? It's a Trump operation. He's a Trump sycophant, close to the Trump organization.
It's still
the Trump camp, if you will. Yeah, and he leaked him, though, for revenge.
I like you.
Yeah, for the negative coverage. I'm telling you.
Oh, I think you're onto something.
The Trump operation.
But imagine the check Amazon could write to the NFL.
Oh, it'd be massive.
Massive. And I think Andrew Marchand's on to that, saying that, yeah, they're going to be a player.
Well, it takes you back to the Tyreek Hill conversation we were having. Like, you mentioned, when is the NFL just say enough is enough? You beat up your pregnant girlfriend? Nope, sorry, you're not getting drafted into this league. Well, look at these TV money. Look at all the money swirling around the league. It doesn't impact the bottom line. So there's no incentive for these owners or the commissioner's office to change on this stuff.
None. Absolutely none.
Because now, yeah.
The edict that Goodell has every year is just make billions of dollars for the league. And that's all the owners care about.
Right. Because now I have a situation where, I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill could have broken his 3-year-old's arm. And if that's the case, get him out of the league forever. Done. You beat up your pregnant girlfriend and then you break your 3-year-old's arm.
I agree.
Beat him down. No. What? Gone forever. Forget a 1-year suspension. Done. See you later.
Right.
No chance for reinstatement.
No chance. None of this. No,
not on the Josh Gordon
not on the
program.
Josh Gordon, not on the Henry Mejia Major League Baseball program.
Right.
No. Sorry, I'm with you. If he broke his 3-year-old son, imagine just, I can't even say that without wincing and without being throwing up in my mouth. That is just despicable. It's a dirtbag. It's the worst of the worst. If he even pulled that off.
And again, it goes back to, like, Tyreek Hill, yeah, it was a good value pickup for the Chiefs. Lots of great plays on the field these last 3 years, but that's the risk you take when you take on guys like that. The damage it does to your reputation,
there's
to
a reason
your organization.
Why he dropped in the draft.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, teams do it all the time. Look, Bengals pick up Joe Mixon. I mean, you know, teams do it all the time in the NFL. Unless you kneel for the anthem and you're Colin Kaepernick, then you're out.
Well, Kaepernick, evidently, according to Jason Lockhand for the earlier tweet, reached out to a source close to @Kaepernick7.
Oh, there you go.
And asked if he was interested in filling the Miami QB vacancy. Was told yes, he's training hard and ready to play. Could get interesting.
And I know this sounds very superficial. I mean, to take it back to the Hill thing, because we're talking about, you know, a serious alleged child abuse situation, but I mean, the Chiefs, you get trade Dee Ford, you cut Justin Houston, Hill, you know, it's true, out of the picture. They're already down Hunt. I mean, Kansas City, you know, they add Tyrann Mathieu, but at this stage in his career, I mean, the path in the AFC just continues to open up for the Patriots, despite, you know.
Let Eric Berry go, feel good story.
Right, despite them, you know, only bringing on Brandon Bolden and our buddy Bruce Ellington in free agency. I mean, really.
Don't forget Maurice
Harris. Maurice Harris and our man Lacoste.
And who's kicking?
Still nobody.
Steven Goskowski. I thought he was going to be the highest paid kicker. Jason Myers would look pretty good.
Yeah, he stinks, though.
He had a hell of a year.
Yeah, one good year. He stinks.
Won a fantasy week
stinks.
For me.
Kickers
like a 38 point week.
Kickers always. I cannot get excited. I was not one of these people who was doing a lot of Steven Goskowski talk before playoff games. I mean, really, all the kickers stink.
Not about all.
He stinks less than most.
He's been pretty consistent despite some high profile misses.
Yeah. You can really only
talk to me in week 3 if they have, you know, fill in the blank.
Oh, I agree.
Cairo Santos.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Little.
I would be fine with Goskowski coming back. A lot of people are on this train. It's time to move on from Goskowski. I'm like, why? I mean, you could do
first
a lot
of all,
worse.
He's 35 years old. He can kick it till he's 50.
Yeah.
Like Adam Vinatieri.
Right. He could do a lot worse. So why not? Why not bring him back? Well, I don't know if bring him back at the franchise total, but bring him back for less money.
But that's strange because you'd think Belichick would like that comfort level.
Well, all about value meter.
I know.
How about value?
That value chart. I need to check my value
chart.
Check
your value chart. Come on.
But another breezy 2 hours with Alex Ringer.
Oh, breezy. Breezy, easy.
You throw heat for 2 hours.
I do?
I'm worried about the 8 to 10 shift. So that's why we have to relieve you. You're like, we need Brazier.
Run out of gas.
We need Ryan Brazier. Right. This is our version. Where's Heath Embry when you need him? But have a good weekend.
He's at the White House.
What you got on tap for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, so you're a proud Irishman. I'm here 9 to noon, but then after, I don't watch the parade, but I go around Southie. Like, I'm like around the area.
You're one of those. You buzz, don't you?
Well, Curtis is out for the weekend. He said I could use his condo, so there we go. No, I'm kidding, but he would never. But yeah, I'll be around. I'll be around, Meter. You're wearing your green today to celebrate.
I am, yes.
Jerry wore green this morning. He made a big deal of it on the show.
He always got upset when we didn't wear green on St. Patrick's Day. What are you doing? How come you're not wearing green?
Oh, that's crossing the line.
Do you wear blue and white on Hanukkah, Jerry, on the seven nights?
Jerry doesn't even dress up for Halloween, I bet. You know, St. Patrick's Day, it's green.
The seven nights. Hey, we used to go to Doyle's. We used to have St. Patrick's Day shows. Those are the glory years.
Dino Irish? No. Waspy Dino, right?
I don't even
right?
know what Dino
is. Must be Waspy.
John Dennis, that made-up name? I have no idea what it is. We don't really know what his real name is. But Alex Reamer, good to see you.
Thanks, Meat.
Catch you this weekend, 9 to 12 on Sunday. That's
tomorrow afternoon, 4 to 5:30 after the Sox. A little, you know, a little review there. Probably more Tyreek Hill and Patriots. And then, 9 to noon with the Wigster, with Wiggy.
Wiggy!
There
Wig's out!
He's gonna expose me as a fraud, or as he spells it, F-R-U-A-D. Fruad. He's going to expose hashtag no Fruad.
Fruad. So there you go. Fuad Reves used to be a kicker for the Miami Dolphins. Maybe he's available. Ryan Hannibal will join me coming up. Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.